Thank you for joining us for this episode of Take Notice, Amplifying Black Stories. I am your host, Allison Preisinger-Higgins. Take Notice, Amplifying Black Stories is a podcast exploring society, culture, and current events through conversation. We aspire to create an open, respectful, and equitable space where guests may feel free to share their truth and lived experiences. Our core values are rooted in community, connection, and personal development. Stories help us learn, relate, and grow. We are here to listen, to take notice. Thank you for being with us. I would like to show gratitude to the traditional ancestral land of the Puyallup people, past and present, on which this episode was created. I encourage listeners to research the land on which you live and are listening right now. Recognizing this is just the beginning. The more you explore, challenge, and learn, the more questions may arise, but this is how we grow and connect. On this episode of Take Notice, we welcome Tigist Bien. Tigist is a talented author, ghostwriter, and entrepreneur. And in this conversation, among other things, we discuss her book, Love, Sex, and Sorrow, her passion for writing, and her upcoming documentary. Tigist has a message of being a writer who is always open and honest, no matter what. I wanted to read a tiny excerpt from her book, which you can find on Amazon, either digital or hard copy. Here's the excerpt. Quote, "Waking up with the sounds of whispers and white coats around me, I'm trying to figure out what happened. My legs feel numb and my arm is stiff from the IVs. I look around and see different machines and doctors in white coats talking with each other. They don't even notice that I am awake." Tigist Bien is a full-time employee assisting women with their wellness needs. She is a mother of two beautiful girls and enjoys being present while spending quality time with her family. Tigist is based out of Seattle, and she and I connected early in December 2023, had this conversation, and I look forward to seeing how her work develops in the coming year and for you all to hear this conversation. So please enjoy this episode with Tigist Bien. Well, Tigist, thank you so much for joining me on Take Notice. It's really great to see you this evening, though I don't think we're too far from each other. You're just in Seattle, right?
Yeah, Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, I'm just down in Tacoma, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's great. What neighborhood are you in?
I'm in like SeaTac / Berrien.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the middle. I'm like borderline.
Yeah, between Seattle and Tacoma here?
Yeah, it's like a weird area.
Yeah, because it kind of converges a lot of different communities and neighborhoods, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've been in Tacoma for a year. Prior to that, we were in West Seattle, kind of in the Delridge area.
Mm-hmm.
So not too far from
where you
were.
I'd be in that area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. You grew up in Seattle, is that right?
Yeah. I grew up in Seattle in like Rainier Vista area, more like Rainier Seattle, like Martin Luther King area.
Yeah.
That's where I really grew up. And then we moved out to Berrien. I was like in the third grade.
Okay. So you've been in the Berrien area for a while then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back and forth.
Nice. Who were you surrounded by growing up?
So my parents and my parents, four children. And then they split up. My dad remarried. He had one child with my stepmom. But she had three prior. So there's eight of us.
Oh, wow. When did that happen? Like, how old were you when you acquired new siblings?
I was 15.
Oh, okay. So a little later on.
They split up when I was 12.
Yeah.
And about when I was 15 is when the blended family began.
Yeah. Everything grew.
Everything grew. Just all these kids. But they were older than me.
Oh, were they? Yeah.
Well, not that much older. Like, two of them was in their 20s. And then my sister was graduating high school.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the three olders. And then I have another older one and then three under.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of in the middle then.
I'm literally the middle. Literally.
Smack in the middle.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
What did your parents do when you were growing up?
So we came to the States when I was literally 1 year old. I was born in Sudan.
Okay.
We're from Ethiopia and came here with sponsors, refugees. So we came here, then they got starting to learn, you know, the language. But we lived in Boston, and we were actually sponsored by a priest family. So,
Oh wow!
And
so does that mean that they funded you coming over and you stayed with them for a while?
Yeah, we stayed with them. They got them a home. I was little, so like, but it's so weird because I remember like the like fall smell, but I don't know why. And I was wondering like, why do I always have the scent? And my mom would show me pictures of us in the leaves. And so I was like, this explains everything. Yeah. But it's something when the fall comes, I think of not, something brings me back to like when my toddler, I just smell it. But it's not like a bath smell. It's like a beautiful, like,
Yeah. And the fall over there is beautiful and probably pretty different from where you moved from, I imagine.
Yeah. So we were there. They sponsored us. We lived with them. They gave us a place. And that's when, like, starting to learn, like, my parents learned English, trying to, you know, get jobs and stuff like that. But they were, like, our community, like, helping us, like.
In the Boston area, was there a big Sudan community? Or you said you're from Sudan.
We're Ethiopian. We just lived. I was born in Sudan because they fled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to go to Sudan and then refugee to come to America.
Okay. So in Boston, were your parents and you in like a community where there was a lot of Ethiopian people that you could support and get support from, or?
You know, I really don't remember. I was so little, but there was pictures my mom showed me recently because we have a documentary, I have a documentary coming out.
Yeah.
And I had pictures on, I was like, hey, we need photos. So my mom told me there's a picture of a group of people coming to the house and it was her friends. They all found out that she's in Boston that came from the same, and they drove down.
Oh, wow.
Because they were all in the same like area.
Wow.
And they all got together. They brought food and, you know, seeing us and the kids because they all was in Sudan.
Mm.
And then, you know, now everybody's come to America. So now they got to like, oh, okay, you made it here. We travel over.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
So it was like, So some of the pictures you will see, like even us leaving Boston, going to the train, we had the sponsors there with us and the people that didn't want us to leave. But yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's really neat that you could, that your parents were able to meet up with people that they hadn't
probably seen in a while. Yeah. They just showed up at the door. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, they just showed up at the door. And I was like,
that's funny. So, yeah. Some people that wouldn't be so cool, but I imagine it was probably okay.
I was like, oh, okay. Right. I didn't say nothing when she told me. I was like, then what you did? She was like, I don't know. I'm in a marriage. How would I know? I
was like, oh. So what ended up bringing them out to, did they come straight to the Seattle area from Boston or were there any other?
So my mom didn't want to leave Boston. She tells me that a lot. She loved it.
Oh, yeah.
It was my dad and they had friends here, like family in the community here. The African community here was growing.
Okay.
So that's when we came to Seattle and we actually lived like in Capitol Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And my mom was like, oh yeah, that apartment was not like, you know, it was just us and people come visit. And then we got inside the Rainier area, got housing, and then they just worked and got a house in Berrien. Yeah.
Yeah. Did your two younger siblings, were they born in Seattle or were they?
Yeah,
around?
The two younger ones were born in America. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But they were born. And so the one after me was born when we lived in Rainier Vista.
Okay.
Both of them was born in Rainier Vista area when we were there. And then they just grew up more here in Berrien.
Mm, yeah.
I went to school out in Seattle, me and my older brother. Yeah.
Did you like bus it up there or were you living up there at the time?
No, so we live in Rainier. Back in the day, I don't know if they don't do this now, but anybody who lived like in that area of like Rainier or Central District area, I went to school up north.
Right. I've met a couple people that went through that.
So we're right there on Alaska Street on Rainier Vistas and we went to school in Ballard.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that, yeah.
I've talked to somebody else about it. You liked it? Okay, good.
I liked it, because we're all in this neighborhood, these kids in these housing, and we're all like, oh, this is a nice school. Where are y'all going at? Like,
right,
but we were those kids that went to those schools.
Yeah, so it was a big, so it's not like you were on the bus with a bunch of people you didn't know. You went with your community.
Our little block, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely different. Yeah, a few people that I've met that grew up in the area that they're talking about busing and stuff. I think some of their experiences, they weren't so fond of for whatever reason, but
I stopped when I was like younger though. So I know my brother was a little different. He said, like, it was different for him going to middle school out there and stuff.
Was
like,
it?
Or, like, yeah, like, it was just a little different. And then he finished middle school here because we moved. And then,
Oh, okay, okay. So when your parents ended up getting work and everything in Seattle or in this area, Burien area, did they, what kind of work did they get into? Or what did they do before they came out this way, I guess, too? Yeah.
So they all, they both worked in healthcare. My mom was a nurse aide and my dad worked in the like environmental science area. So like janitor work.
Okay. Yeah.
So he worked for Swedish over 30 years now. He's actually about to retire.
Oh, wow.
And my mom, same thing with Providence. She's not going to retire yet. She's still young. But yeah. So they always worked in healthcare and stuff like that and just worked in that building facilities, of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're both like, you know, I think my mom, she always had two jobs as long as I can remember.
Oh, yeah. Doing the same thing, but just two. With that many kids, especially when you're younger, I imagine that's, you gotta make it happen.
Yeah, so I ask her a lot. Like, I'd be like, how old were you when you had all four of us? She was like, I had you guys all before I hit 30. And I was like, oh, okay.
Isn't that wild when you grow up and you're like, wait a minute.
I felt like a little punk for me having two kids. I was like, oh, well, we're just nothing compared to our parents.
All the things they went through.
I really
thought
it, like, set them. Really, I'd be thinking, like, when I see these older parents, they're like, yeah, I had it at 16. I'm like, well, what?
I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then coming from a whole other country.
Right.
Like, I'm
and
like,
go through that
like,
whole transition.
Yeah. She was like, we don't know nobody but each other.
Right.
And I was like, oh, snaps.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it that way now that I'm an adult and I have my own kids. I did not think about it at all that way until, like, as literally, like, maybe just a couple years ago. And I sit there and I really think,
yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. It was four of us. You know, she had four. They had four. So it goes like this. Three are step, one is half, three are biological. Blood.
Right. Yeah.
So we're just all one. But we wasn't raised to be, like, step or... half. So we literally be like, oh, it's my sister, my brother.
Yeah, that makes
we're
sense.
We're not raised. Yeah, and then we know which mom we're talking about. We're like, oh, mom, we got to go to the house. When we say the house, we know it's my dad and my stepmom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a language that I think we've all created that I just don't know how we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, just organic. Just figure each other out and you figure it out.
Yeah,
we're
like, oh, mom said, and I just be like, I have to know like who's talking to who and what kind of conversation.
Right. Yeah. You can't just look at the text of it. You gotta know the context.
Yeah, we have to know the whole context. Who sent it? What's behind it.
Right.
Our group chat is funny though. Oh. It's okay.
That's pretty great. Is your dad and his second wife, are they still together?
Yeah. They've been married like a little over 20.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My mom never remarried.
Okay.
I mean, like we call him our stepdad.
Okay.
He's been in our lives for over a decade too. Over 10. My daughter is 16, so almost 20. Yeah.
Okay. She has a partner.
We say Papa. We're like, oh, Papa. Or we're like, oh, him. We just don't. Yeah. We don't know how to, like, but he knows we know. Like,
right.
I'm telling you, it's all like a silent, it's a mind reading game.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know who's who. Like, we all kind of like, yeah.
That probably shows a close bond between you all, right?
Yeah. We all respect it. Because he's like a dad. He's literally like, I need something. I'm like, hey, he's like, oh, can you go get the kids? I'm like, okay.
Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all your siblings still in this area, in the Seattle area?
So I have one, actually, so the youngest, that's my half sister, she's actually in college in Oregon.
It's
her second year in college.
Nice.
And I have a brother also in Portland. I have the sister in California and in Atlanta. And then the four of us is here in Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of spread out, but not everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But we try to get together.
Yeah, not too far. Like most are West Coast, at least, it seems.
It's not that far.
So growing up, what did you end up doing after you graduated high school? Which high school did you go to?
I went to Franklin High School.
Yeah, okay.
And it's funny because my daughter goes to Garfield High School and they're rivals.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I just, you know, which is not a bad thing because the school is a great school. Both schools are great schools.
Yeah.
But it's funny because she'll say things.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
like, hold on now. like, you know, I'm
right.
still a Quaker. Like, we're not doing this. But so I end up high school. I end up actually having a child at 18 at her. And then 2 weeks later, I turn 19. So that's why I have a 16-year-old and I'm 35. A lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have a 7-year-old. Okay. So after that, I was out there in Atlanta. That's where me and her dad met. We got together, had a baby. Mm. And I just, you know, that was part of my book, right? So it wasn't a good match, had her. But I knew I had to, like, work when I moved back here in Seattle. And she's actually born in Seattle.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And then I just worked and went to school. Went to started community college at Highline Community College. And then went to Central Washington Online.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have a focus or was it just kind of the general?
I was like all over the place for a good minute. And then I really liked public health and I really wanted to focus on African-American women and the like maternity, like getting, make sure we get proper health care and stuff like that.
Did you end up going into doing work in that field?
So I actually work now for the hospital.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not for public health, but I work in healthcare, which is, I do want to get more into advanced though.
Oh, really? Like, take more courses or?
Yeah, or just, like, get a more position that falls for it more, you know, more behind scenes, helping people, like, make sure, like, being an advocate for them, make sure they have what they need, especially their delivery for women of color. Mm. That's, like, my biggest thing, too, you know?
So, I don't know much about the field, so maybe this is off, but in a way, social services or?
Yeah, like, I like them both, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I do want to get more into that social services, get more of a, how do I say this? Like, just more, like, of helping people, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, making sure, like, they could be heard and talked to, and it's okay to, like, have questions about your health and know what's going on and stuff like that. Because I feel like sometimes we don't have that, you know, in healthcare. And I think that's, like, my biggest, like, advocate right now for people.
What's the hospital that you work in right now?
I work remotely for Swedish.
Okay. Did you have experiences in your pregnancy that kind of triggered wanting to do this work, or was it something else? Or,
you know, I just remember certain scenes, like, well, my first pregnancy was great. I still have a great team, our OBGYN. It was like, sometimes I did notice like this when I had my second child, it was a lot of like uncertain, you know, it was more like, okay, she could just, I was about to deliver. I felt like, you know, okay, she's obviously going to come. So we went to the hospital and I just remember they could not get my centimeters right until the nurse comes in and she's like, no, she needs to be admitted. And then the doctor on call, she was like, well, okay, I think it's best for her to go home. We give her a shot. And then, and then my doctor finally came and she was like, no, she's not going home. Like, she's like, no, she's not doing that. Because if I wake up from this nap and I'm at home, this baby could be out.
Right. Yeah. Why would they send you home?
So my doctor literally, bless her heart, she was about to get ready for her kids' camping trip.
And there is
back to school time around that time. So she came in, was like, okay, let's do this. And she was like, you are not going home. This baby, no. And my blood pressure was up. She was like, no.
Wow. Yeah.
So I just remember that. And I was like, oh, okay.
And so you want to be that person if somebody else didn't have the doctor that you had that made the effort to come in. And
it just takes like the awareness. Like, even though my doctor was a Caucasian woman, I knew her though for a while. And my kids' doctor now, she always told us like, no, make sure you speak up. Make sure you say this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like advocate for yourself. And sometimes, you know, you have to have somebody like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, even having like that extra, because that person could be really scared. or you know, don't know what to say or what words they need to use.
Yeah, yeah, to navigate the medical system without, you know, doing all of the homework.
Exactly.
If you don't have time or the knowledge to do that, you know, having somebody on your side, that'd be massive. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
You went to Central, you did online classes, and then from there, did you go straight into working for Swedish, or what kind of work did you do after that?
So I went back and forth to Swedish. So I was there for a while. And then when I got pregnant with my second child, worked until full term. Then I took off. I first took maternity leave, and then daycare just wants to be expensive for humans, which I get it. They deserve to get paid because they're with these children all day and with these babies. So I'm here for it. So I end up being a stay-at-home mom for about 3 years. And that will test you. So I did that, and then I end up going back to work after 3 years. She went to daycare, the little one, which was really hard for me. And then, just start back to work and finish up my classes. You know how to do. And then I wrote this book.
Is that when you got into the book?
That's when I wrote the book.
Wow.
I was like, just even more on my plate. Why not? Let me just write my book. But it was actually, like, you know, and I say this in other people interviews too, and they ask me, like, you know, I was in therapy and it was like trauma I was going through. So I wrote it like an expression.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be like a story. So it's kind of like end up being like a story of my life and, you know, post-trauma things and just really like talking some shit. But, you know, it's my humor in a way too. A lot of people see things or they hear things, but they don't really hear it from the actual person.
Right. They'll get it secondhand, or it'll be a story that someone made up that's close or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
So did this kind of urge to create, sounds like it came from working through a lot of feelings and trauma and things like that, but did you have a creative side prior to this, like growing up? Did you like writing or?
Yeah, I always was into like poetry. But I was quiet about it. I wasn't that kid that like, hey, I wrote some music, or I didn't talk about that. Like showing like if I had talent or creative side, I was very quiet about that. I would be in my room listening to music all day and just be just in my room.
Just kind of kept to yourself.
I wouldn't show that side. I'm surprised I'm showing it even now.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. Cause you know, it's kind of scary, you know, like, right? And then it's like, okay, and of course you can't care what people think, but it's really like for yourself.
Yeah, and it seems like even though it can be scary, if you're focused in on the goal of trying to help yourself and help others eventually, probably with your story, then the rest doesn't really matter so much, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the title of your book is Love, Sex, and Sorrow, and it came out 2022. Is that right?
About a year now.
Yeah. So you started writing it. I think I saw that you started writing it years before it came out, though, right? So it was kind of a long process for you. How did that go? Was it more like, did you think of it first as, here, I'm going to publish this someday? Or was it like strictly like, this is, I'm just writing this to get it out of me kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't think I was going to publish it. I didn't even know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm being brutally honest. I didn't even know what was going on in my head. But I had it in there for a while and I just had stories and titles, but I honestly did not think. I was like, okay, I'm gonna make this a book, or let me send it to a publishing company. And I knew a few people who published books and I was like, hey, what's your guys' process? A lot of them gave me good tips or resources who I went through editing and all that stuff, which I was like, okay, cool. And I always said, I'm gonna do something. I tried to go and do it. So I had it in and I was like, okay, I'm gonna just send it to them if they want to. She said give it about 3 days if we want to
Oh, that soon.
Continue
That's pretty
on.
quick.
Well, they had to look at it, and my book wasn't that long though. My book is
Oh,
like a day read.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I was like, okay. I don't think they read. I think they're very, when they look at like the script of it or like the beginning stages, like, hey, I'm going to send you these first five chapters, you know, to get the zhush of, okay, we will like to publish your book. So I got an email back and she was like, hey, I need to ask you more questions. And I was like, yeah, okay. And she called me and she was like, I need to know what happened after this and this and this. And I was like, oh, I thought you just wanted like to. And I was like, oh, okay. So then
That's
I gave it
sign.
All to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they came back to me a few days again. It was like maybe like a week. And she was like, okay, hey, we would like to publish your book and edit. And these are, you know, our terms. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Same thing, nothing of it.
Yeah. And it just kind of, did it take a while after that point for things to develop?
It took a few months.
Is this a local publisher or where are they based?
Yeah, well, they're based in, I want to say she's North Carolina.
Okay.
Someone who I know also published with them, who published multiple books before. So they recommended me, yeah.
Nice. That helps.
To this company. Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I imagine it's hard to know where to even start when you're doing it for the first time kind of thing.
Yeah, so, you don't. Yeah,
it's a whole
exactly.
world.
That's why
yeah.
I tell people, I'm like, I know I have so many gaps in this first book. So that's what I'm always thinking. Like, if I write me another story, I need more detail.
Oh,
I was scared. Yeah, I was so scared.
Well, when you're writing is so personal, I imagine, you know, it's not like you're writing some story that you came up with. It's like a real thing that, so that's, that can be, I can imagine that's even scarier than just like, here's something I kind of came up with, you know? So,
yeah. And then it was, it's I think scary because it's actually like a true event that happened to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like a lot of people know it in this town, in the city, right?
Right.
So it's
yeah.
like, oh snap, she's talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's what I got. Yeah.
Yeah. It was something, was it something that was a little more hush hush before the book came out or like you didn't talk about it as much?
You know, people knew, but I didn't, it was been 8 years at the time when it already happened. Now it's been 10 years since it happened. So
yeah.
I think people are just more like, oh, okay, now we get to really hear between what happened, between you guys, what happened and, you know, everybody who was involved. And
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A decade later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. And when something so personal is the book, I'm looking forward to reading it. I haven't yet, which is kind of, I think kind of interesting because now I get to ask you these questions because our listeners aren't gonna probably know either.
Yeah.
So for now, and then they'll read the book.
Right.
Is the book surrounded by this one event or is it more of a
Okay. It's one event, people are involved, switched up names, talks about who I used to be with, and it kinda like triggers on who pretty much I end up with and what happened.
Okay.
Because you will meet different characters in there.
Okay. I'm very interested. Yeah. Some of the reviews that I read, was like people were describing that it was like you were just talking to them. So I thought that was very intriguing too.
And that was my whole thing. I want that. I want like people to have an easy read and just like, oh, I could just pull up my book and talk to my homegirl. And it's just like, you know.
If you were to do another book like you were talking about, do you have in mind what you might write about?
Yeah, so I kind of want to, people want a second, a part two. I do want to have a part two, but I want to have it to someone else that was involved, that I was with before him. So I'm thinking about doing a story about that, but not like, obviously I'm not the character. So, well, I will be the character, but not the character. And yeah, I'm thinking about that or maybe do like a series. That's like my next plan in my mind to do a series with either this one or start. So pretty much you'll meet like different people that I used to be with. So I never explained one person who I was with before I had, this is only when I had like one child before. This is like when I was probably like in maybe when I was 20. Okay, so it's a long time ago. And just meeting certain people, encounterments. I kind of want to go off that, I'm thinking. Or I'm also thinking about writing a book about the journey after. Like, what did I do after me getting shot? Yeah. So I'm like debating, like I get like, oh, you should do this, you should do this. I'm just like, let me get my mind, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's kind of like you're, from what it sounds like anyway, it's kind of like you're sharing your diary in a way. So, but a little, I mean, you get it all out and then you got to form it, I'm sure, very differently than a diary. But, but yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want it to be like, you know, some people just like, I'm going to make a tell-all. I don't want that. I just want to make like stories for people to relate to.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, mold it into something relatable.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, or I don't know if we've mentioned it yet in our conversation, but the thing that happened was you were shot. Is that right? Yeah. I don't want to give any spoilers from the book away or anything, but can you explain or describe that experience in any way that doesn't give any spoilers or for your book? Or
yeah, so I was shot by someone who I was with. We've broken up at the time. And, you know, when things turn left and you're in a situation, there's, you know, you really can't, it's more like a, what they say, like a fight or flight or something like that. So I just knew I had to, like, you know, fight for my life. And it pretty much tells the build up of how it got there.
Okay. Did you end up in, I imagine you ended up in the hospital and.
Yeah, I was in the hospital and I wasn't there that long. I mean, I spent the night there.
Okay.
So I got the lucky, I was lucky. So once I got discharged the next day, that's when I think like reality really hit. Like reality even hit me during the incident or even in the hospital. I think it hit me like after. That's when it like really messed with me. Yeah. And like even at home, just like being around people, like it didn't really like settle in for a while. You know, I went to work.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. I went to work like after like 10 days.
Oh, wow.
I was just acting, I was just okay, let me just, and I didn't know, honestly, I didn't know why. Now that I think about it, I think it was just like, oh, okay, I gotta go back, I just, you know, gotta go, like
back to a routine or something.
Yeah, just I'm just, yeah, back to routine. Like I just, it didn't really, you know, I think even now that I look back, like, you know, I think I definitely should have stayed my ass in the house, because
yeah,
I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, imagine, I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like to go through that. So, yeah. You know, all the things that come up, depending on your financial situation and all these things, is like, how long can you be out of work anyway? And all these things that you have to consider, but priority being you. And sometimes that's hard to do to stay healthy and stuff. Wow. Was that job the healthcare job, or was it a different job?
No, I was working at the airport at the time. Okay. This was like, I was 25 when this happened. So I was working like airport job, and it was just me and my oldest at the time. The manager, she's really super nice, really understanding. So I was okay with, she was like, are you sure you want to get back? And I was like, yeah. She's like, no, I think you should take like another week off or two, you know. And I was like, no, I don't want to, because I'm tired of sitting in the house. But I continue on doing like everyday things. I look back at it now, and I didn't know nothing about like PTSD. I didn't know nothing about like little things like affected me, but I didn't really say much. Now that I look back, and yeah, I just continue on doing what I have to do. I didn't really think about it. It didn't really hit me. I don't think it really hit me.
Was your injury something that you still are affected by now, or? Like, physically?
No,
or?
Not like physical. Sometimes I'll get like tender in that area, you know, or, you know, but not the only thing, well, mentally now, but
right.
Other than that, no, I got, like I said, I got blessed. I got real lucky. It would have been really bad.
Well, yeah. So you ended up going to, because this book came out of doing therapy and things like that. How long did it take before you decided to take that step of therapy?
It took me almost like 7 years or something. I already had my second child.
Oh, really? 7 years or so? Wow.
Yeah, it took me a long time. So I went the first time because my doctor told me I need to talk to somebody. I didn't know I had PTSD because I was getting like anxiety attacks and feeling like shock because I still drove the car that it happened. I had this. Okay, so spoiler alert, I was driving a car and
right.
I had a car and this car is part of the scene and I still have that car.
Oh,
I still was driving the car. I would have like crazy sweat. I was angry every time I was in that car. And I will go and get checked up. And my doctor was like, okay, how are you feeling? I was like, I'm fine. And she was like, she finally asked me, like, how'd you get to work? And I was like, I mean, how'd you get to your appointment? I was like, oh, I drove. And she was like, what do you mean you drove? I was like, I drove. She's like, what'd you drive in? I was like, in the car. And she was like, what car? And I was like, the car. She's like, the car that was part of the scene. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, wow, what house am I going to? I was, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to pick up my kid. What are you talking about? This is my car.
Right.
And she was like, no, we have to figure something out. And she was like, my doctor, she's still my doctor to this day. She's like, I don't know what we have to do, but she was like, it's going to really affect you mentally. And I already knew it was, I could tell. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I didn't sleep.
Mm.
So that's when I had to get me another car.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine that's one of those things that's maybe in the back of your mind, but until somebody points it out or brings it to your attention, it's hard to come to terms with or really realize.
Yep. But, yeah. And then I spoke to someone about how to deal with like post-trauma. I didn't understand that. And then it all slowly came back after years and stuff. So I didn't really like really dealt with it. It's hard, you know, especially when it's been so long after. You don't know, like, oh, I thought I fixed myself, but no, actually you haven't.
Yeah, imagine if you just kind of try to keep life going as it was for so long prior to that incident without dealing with it and without knowing how to deal with it maybe or, you know, any of that stuff. Yeah, that would be, it catches up though.
And it'll hit you hard. It will affect you big time.
And so the book came out of that, and then you have a documentary that you're working on currently. Is that right?
Yep, it's based on the book. Yeah, it got. I was doing an interview with Seattle Connect with Mr. David Jackson, and he was. You know, I got asked to do this before. About actually this time last year I got asked, and me and this person would discuss here and there. He was like, hey, I really want to do this, and I was like, oh, okay. But it never really like came to light, you know. And then there's a lot to it. So then when I got again, I was like, you know, it's been I keep getting asked, and I'm not thinking nothing of it, but when it all comes at the right time and you have a director, you have somebody who wants to produce it, you have someone who's taking the lead, it's like, hey, we already took care of this. You just need to show up. And I'm like, okay. But I also had to I had to put myself in a mindset of, I'm going to really be talking about my life like that. Mm-hmm. And I have to make sure that if I'm comfortable enough to tell my story, which I am, but I don't want it to be of a, like I feel sorry for her. It's more of awareness. It's more of, you know, follow what you want to do in your life, you know, like that. And it's more of a just having women come together and just talk about things that you never really get to talk about. And there's so many women that's like silent. It's very devastating when I hear certain things, you know, people who I knew, you know, it's like, no, he's always hit me or he, you know, I never knew. And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah. And
yeah. So it's like devastating, but it comes out beautiful at the end, right?
So you're working with David Jackson on the documentary, is that right?
Oh, yep. That's great. Mm-hmm. And then we have another director. We have a director, sorry, who directed. And then we will be having the event. So just in the process right now. So we should be getting it soon and ready to go by next month. So everybody could come out and view it and just see, you know, how everything happened and based on this book.
Wow. So you already did all the filming and everything?
Yeah, did all the filming. Nice. Now just doing like a interview tour, like with you.
Yeah. Just promoting and sharing about it.
Sharing. People want to ask and, you know, more about me and just my book and getting to know me, which I do want to, I got to, you know, get myself out there. Because I'm very, when you get stuck in your own bubble, you're just in your bubble.
I know. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's, it can be hard to get outside of that little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I can really be kind of a homebody sometimes.
Yeah,
so I get it.
I'll be like,
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got blessed, you know, having people who wanted to pick this book up to make a documentary. I got real blessed because I was like, I don't know where y'all about to get this funding. It's not going to come over here. I don't know nothing about nothing. Yeah. I know how to write. I gotta give you contact, but I can't give you nothing else. So that was literally the conversations I'd be having with people. I'm like, I don't know. But if it's meant to be, it will be. So
yeah, the right team of people will come
the
around.
Right team of people, everything will fall just how it's supposed to be. And that's one thing I always tell people. Everything will fall into place.
It's a great way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think having the outlook of what you have for your book and for the documentary that's coming out soon, of like kind of just being a kind of a support or a resource for others in a way.
I think
that's a great way to approach it because it's not like, here's my tell-all and I'm going to tell you all the juicy details. It's like,
I didn't want all that. I want, you know, different women, you know, all types of women just come out and talk, even if he wasn't in, you know, domestic violence or haven't had a trauma or, you know, if you knew somebody or at least you're self-aware, you know, and we're just coming together and just having a good time. And the event is not just for women, it's for men and women, like our community. So it's, you know, it's going to be a, it's going to be a vibe.
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying? It's going to be a vibe.
Right. Yes.
So yeah, that's how.
So you're still getting the details together for the for the screening, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll have to catch those details.
Yes, definitely. We're going to definitely send out. You'll see it everywhere for tickets and all. It all will come together.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's exciting. That's super exciting. So you get to just like do your thing for the holidays and that's going to kind of come up right around the corner.
2024, right?
Yeah. That's exciting. Yeah. What other things are you excited about coming up in the new year or in the next few months or just in general or personally, career-wise?
Yeah, what I'm looking forward to, honestly, I really want to take this film to different places and really just show, you know, out. Who knows? Oprah might interview me or Gail might, you know, I'll take a Gail too.
There you go.
I will.
Both.
I'll take both. Listen, at this rate, I don't care. Home Before News could reach out to me. I'll be
there
ready.
You go.
But yeah, just take it around and, you know, hopefully it gets picked up more and people get, you know, word of it. And I will want more, you know, have like another book out selling context, you know, writing for people. I love writing. I would also, I do want it to eventually be part of a like woman advocate group, you know, hopefully I could speak at different places. Someone wants to bring me along. I definitely will love that. Yeah. You know, hopefully meet Tyler Perry as well. I don't know.
There you go.
Who knows? But I just want to enjoy it. Like I want to enjoy the moment. Yeah. And just be, I just want peace. That's it.
One last question for you. What's something that brings you joy? I think we've heard some of the things, but what to you brings you joy?
My kids, seeing them, looking at them, like, you know, looking, I see me in their eyes in a way of, you know, like I'm looking at them. It's, I don't know how to explain that, but it's I'm seeing them grow up and like, I'm like, okay, I just need to make sure like, you know, things are getting done. Also, to see other people happy.
Mm.
You know, I like when I see people happy and when everybody's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like you're obviously going to have bad days, you know, but I will want your good days to outweigh your bad days. That's honestly what brings me joy. My kids, my family's healthy. We're all good. I want to see other people succeed. I love that. I love seeing my friends like come up, you know, if they want a new opportunity or a career change. I love seeing all that and just being there for people. That's what bring me seeing people happy makes me happy. Like, oh, okay, good. You're good. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Where is the best spot for people to find you? I know you're on Instagram.
Yes, I'm on Instagram, lovetickets25. And honestly, right now, that's it. Or if you want to email me, it's ticketsbna@yahoo.com. So it's my first and last name. And yeah, that's pretty much it. My book, Love, Sex, and Sorrow, is on Amazon. Also, there's a link on my IG page as well.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. We'll have those links in our show notes.
Yeah,
so anybody
totally.
That's listening, they can just click right now and go check out the book. Yeah,
yes.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to reading it and to following how this documentary unfolds in the next few months and sharing information about that for you and just kind of keeping up with the next books and all the things. So,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Wonderful. Is there anything that I missed asking you about or anything that's on your mind that you want to include?
No, I think we pretty much covered all the bases. I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thank you for taking the time.
Interview me, you know, it's a great blessing.
It's great to hear your story and hear more about your projects and things that you're excited about and everything. So thanks for being with me today. I will look forward to keeping up with all the things. Thanks so
yes,
much.
Yes, you'll definitely get an invite. No problem.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for joining us for Take Notice, Amplifying Black Stories. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share it with someone you know. Connect with us on social media. We would love to hear from you. We are at Take Notice Podcast. You can also find us at takenoticepodcast.org. Reviews help us reach more listeners, so please rate and review on your favorite podcast app. Take Notice, Amplifying Black Stories is produced, hosted, and edited by Allison Preisinger Higgins. Music by Version Big 5 featuring Darius Higgins. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for taking notice.